You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR, your community radio station. Now we go back to Saturday and to the rally to raise awareness that Julian Assange is a political prisoner and needs to be brought home. First we hear from Dean Yates, the man who was the bureau chief for Reuters when the US Apache murdered 12 men, two of his people, depicted in the collateral murder video that has been used, or rather not used, to keep Julian Assange in maximum security prison, but is the shadowy element that the US government would like to suppress. We will also hear some words from David McBride, the army whistleblower who blew the lid on unlawful killing of Afghan prisoners by Australian personnel.
Thank you, everyone, turning out. It's an amazing turnout, and I just love this. I really feel a momentum emerging. I really do. I can feel it. I've got a message for Prime Minister Albanese. On this day, the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and it's a message that I want him to hear loud and clear. Prime Minister Albanese, my name is Dean Yates. I was the Reuters bureau chief in Iraq when an Apache gunship with the call sign 18 killed 12 men in Baghdad on July 12, 2007. Two of those men were Reuters photographer Namir Noor Eldin and Reuters driver Sayed Chum. In an off-the-record briefing 2 weeks later, I was told by two American generals that the group of men that included Namir and Sayed, my staff, were showing hostile intent and thus could be attacked. I was shown, without advance warning, less than 3 minutes of footage from the gun camera of Crazy Horse 18 up to where it opened fire for the first time. US forces, I was told, had acted in accordance with the rules of engagement. For nearly 3 years, lawyers from Reuters tried to get a copy of this tape from the Pentagon through Freedom of Information requests so we could understand what had happened, better protect our staff in Iraq. The Pentagon repeatedly refused. Then, on April 5, 2010, Julian Assange published video of the entire attack. The classified footage had been sent to WikiLeaks by US military whistleblower Chelsea Manning. It was obvious why the US government didn't want to share the tape with Reuters. It shows grainy figures on a Baghdad street, the hellish clack of the Apache's chain gun, clouds of dust as cannon shells crash into men. A wounded man, Sayed Chum, father of four, trying to crawl for 3 minutes. When a good Samaritan, taking his two children to school in his minivan, stops to help Sayed, permission to attack is again granted. Crazy Horse 18 fired 120 rounds at the van. Mr. Assange called the video collateral murder. It shocked millions of people around the world. International legal experts called the attack on the minivan a war crime. Now, the US indictment against Mr. Assange is an attempt to criminalize what journalists do, getting information from sources and then publishing the material. But this tape, one of the greatest scoops in journalism in recent times, which catapulted Mr. Assange into the international spotlight, made WikiLeaks a household name, was not among the 18 charges. That is because the US government didn't want the video in a courtroom. Too embarrassing. Potential war crimes. Cruel pilot banter. That footage could have done untold damage to its case. When Mr. Assange published collateral murder, the US military said, all evidence available, quote unquote, supported the conclusion that Crazy Horse 18 shot armed insurgents. Then US Secretary Robert Gates called the investigation very thorough. He said soldiers were operating in split-second situations and that these people, i.e. WikiLeaks, can put out anything they want and they're never held accountable for it. I'm going to address these points one by one. Point one, the military said US forces returned fire and called in helicopter support after being attacked with small arms and RPGs on July 12, 2007. Quote, there is no question that
coalition forces were clearly engaged in combat operations against a hostile force, end quote, said a spokesperson for US forces in Baghdad. Collateral murder showed that was a lie. Point two, the rules of engagement for US soldiers said, quote, do not target or strike anyone who has surrendered or is out of combat due to sickness or wounds, end quote. It was written on an ROE card given to US troops. The international law of armed conflict, to which Washington is a signatory, does not allow combatants to shoot people who are surrendering or no longer pose a threat. The Geneva Conventions prohibit attacks on the wounded. Collateral murder showed Crazy Horse 18 shooting a badly wounded man, Sade, two unarmed bystanders who came to help, and the unarmed van driver. Despite this breach of the ROEs and international conventions, an AR-15-6 military investigation cleared the pilots. Quote, the AWT, or air weapons team, accurately assessed that the criteria to find and terminate the threat to friendly forces were met in accordance with the law of armed conflict and rules of engagement. Shame. Point four. A day after Mr. Assange published collateral murder, a military spokesman said there was never any attempt to cover up any aspect of this engagement, end quote. The Pentagon was deceitful in withholding the tape, while I arranged for foreign media bureau chiefs in Baghdad to meet senior military officials to talk about journalist safety. Point five. A separate spokesman said the military couldn't find its copy of the tape. Another lie. Chelsea Manning found it easily enough. Prime Minister Albanese, Mr. Assange faces 175 years in prison. Five of those charges relate to publishing the rules of engagement, including the ROE card given to US soldiers in Iraq. But those charges alone, Mr. Assange faces 50 years in jail. Think about that. 50 years imprisonment for publishing rules of engagement that showed the attack on Sade and the minivan broke international law. Yet the United States didn't prosecute the man who pulled the trigger or anyone else in the chain of command. It didn't prosecute those who did the bogus investigation or engaged in the cover-up and lied about it. Prime Minister Albanese, today as we mark the 20th anniversary of the US-led invasion of Iraq, I urge you to watch Collateral Murder, then bring Julian Assange home. Yes. That said, I urge people here and beyond not to make this about the crew of Crazy Horse 18. The real criminals are the architects of the invasion, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld and co. The men responsible for an illegal and reckless invasion based on the lies that Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction and had direct ties to Al-Qaeda. The men who put the pilots of Crazy Horse 18 above the Alamin neighborhood in eastern Baghdad in the first place. Thank you.
Our final speaker today now is also another incredibly inspirational man. He is Major David McBride. He blew the whistle on the Australian military leadership and their role in covering up war crimes. He is now facing a lifetime in prison on espionage charges, even though the information he released had no national security information. It was simply embarrassing to the government. It's not actually a crime to embarrass the government, apparently, but this government seems to have made it one. How very convenient. Later this year, he faces a jury trial which will focus on whether he actually did his duty as a lawyer and army officer, but which is likely to be a largely secret trial with unfair national security provisions, ensuring even the judge doesn't hear all the evidence.
Thank you so much, Louise. I got to start today with a thank you. I mean, thank you for being here, for being who you are. Without you, there is no me. Without you, they take me out the back and they just shoot me. In fact, they would like to do that. And that's one of the reasons why we push for publicity. And that's one of the reasons why publicity for Julian Assange saves his life. If they could possibly kill him, we know that they've already tried to. They would do it. saves people's lives. And it's a terrific country. It's a beautiful park. It's a beautiful country. And it's thanks to people like you that make it so incredible. It's hard not to see that, you know, just feel the magic in this beautiful public park. And like the other speakers, I acknowledge the traditional owners. They've obviously had magic here, real magic for millennium, till time began, as they say, which I think is more accurate. Now, people came to Melbourne. You weren't convicts like us in Sydney, the white people anyway, and this is the heart of Australia's activism here in Melbourne. So you can be very proud of what you've achieved. And yeah, so give yourselves a pat on the back. And some people have already heard this speech, but I'll tell it again because it's quite interesting. And it sums up everything that's wrong in Australia and why we have to change it and why you people are on the right side of history. You really are. We will win this. We will win this, you know. And yes, doggy, you're absolutely right. And like most of us here, or everyone has a story to tell before they came to Australia. My ancestors, my father's side, were convicts. Not just a couple. And they didn't just steal a handkerchief. They were professional criminals. A higher class of criminal. They weren't amateurs. And but they didn't go back to England, you know. They realised what we had here was special. My other ancestors came from Ireland in the potato famine, and again, they could have gone back. They didn't go back. And I think my history begins here. I think I've got more of the indigenous, you know. I think once you live in this landmass, live in this continent, you wake up to the beaches and the rivers and this magical place, you become Australian, whatever your ethnicity was beforehand. And it's a magical thing. It's an absolute magical thing. You only have to go to a public school, a public hospital, and to see the little faces of the kids making their speeches and singing. It's not like America. It's not like Britain. We are better than them. We are better than America, and we do not have to take orders from them. What's more, we demean ourselves. We demean ourselves, what we do, and it rots our soul. It seems to be the understanding in the sort of Australian military apparatus that even though we don't like the Americans, we have to suck up to them because they're going to protect us when the needs come. Now, that is so wrong. That is so wrong. They won't, for a start. And I've seen the inside of their military apparatus, and it's rubbish. They can't protect themselves. You know, they're like Darth Vader. You pull the head off, pull the helmet off, and there's a shrunken head underneath. There's not much inside their advertising. You know, they have a very, very much lower education rate than we do. They have nothing like we have. And every time we do what they say because we think they're going to protect us, we demean our soul. We demean our soul and it twists it out of shape. Now, you all know that. You all know that. You wouldn't be here if you didn't know that. But I want you to know that I know that. I know that. And I'm prepared to go to jail. I went to good schools. I went to Oxford University. I went to Sandhurst. And you reckon I'm some sort of traitor. I'm not a traitor. I'm not working for any foreign government. I'm working for the truth. After 9/11, the American security apparatus had this saying, the gloves are off, which meant we can break the law, we can kill people, we can do whatever it takes. The problem, if you put state survival above values, you end up without a state. There is nothing left to protect. I say to Albanese, if you put me in jail, if you don't help Assange and you spend the money that should be helping our disadvantaged people, if you spend that on stupid American gadgets where the money is just going to go back to American corporations, you have failed Australia, and there is no Australia to protect. If you turn us into some maximum security prison where people aren't allowed to protest, when people who tell the truth are jailed, you are, I mean, Albanese is a disgrace to the labour movement, really. I mean, how did that happen? And yes, he might be deposed like they deposed Gough Whitlam, but Gough Whitlam is remembered as a saint, as a hero. I say this to the idiots in the Sydney Morning Herald and wherever. Paul Keating is a hero. Paul Keating is an absolute hero. I take my hat off to the guy. He said, you know, when people are no longer fettered by the chains of government, look at Malcolm Turnbull, Malcolm Fraser. They all say the same thing. The Americans are holding us hostage. The Americans only care about themselves. The Americans are prepared to sacrifice us for their own gold, and it's not good enough. We say no. We say no to giving up Australia. You know, there's only a relatively small group of us here, but we are absolutely right. We are absolutely right. And even if we don't win this battle, in years to come, in hundreds of years, people will remember us like they remembered early civil rights movement in the UK, where the Peterloo Massacre, where they got run down by cavalry for just protesting for working rights or basic rights. We are the people that started the civil war against the king. At the moment, we've got this divine right of ministers where they think they can do anything because they're a minister. They can't. They've got to abide by the law. And I'll finish on this. There's a senator from the Greens. The Greens have been fantastic. They have totally supported me on this, and it's funny that a lot of people don't really realise that they are the only party with a bit of muscle, with a bit of backbone, and it's really quite incredible. So I want to thank them. Again, I want to thank everybody here. Don't give up this fight. We will win. They'll probably put me in jail, not because the law doesn't support me, but because they're going to say national security. National security. Yeah, well, it's okay if they do, because I've had such a privileged life. I'm almost 60 now, and I've had a fantastic time. I've got two wonderful children, and I thank all the people that have donated money that have helped me keep their heads above water. If someone has to go to jail, it may as well be me. And I am prepared to do that. No, I am. It's true. It's true. And because it may be the only way, as Jacob said at the beginning, you know, protest doesn't necessarily change things, but the public support me, and when people see that I get locked up in jail because I told the fucking truth, it does bring it home. Well, what is wrong with the government when the government of this country, which is meant to be a democracy, which is meant to be a good country, puts a truthful officer in jail for life? Nothing illustrates how messed up we have become than that. And maybe going to jail and the walls will fall down. I'm not saying I'm going to stay there for very long. You're all going to come and get me out. Put the old, the file in the cake trick or whatever. Disguises. I want you to all think I'm a good one. Parachuting in. Hijacking a helicopter, who knows? We'll keep trying. We'll have fun like the prisoners of war in the Second World War, because that's what we are. We're prisoners of war. Where our country is the country of truth, the country of justice, and their country is the country of lies and the country of greed. Yeah. And I'll let you all get to the pub now. You deserve it. I know there's some fantastic bars in Melbourne, much better than Sydney. But I will say, we are going to win. We are going to win because we are absolutely right. Don't forget Daniel Duggan. Daniel Duggan, American, well, he's an Australian. He's an Australian. And he's a proud Australian. And Albanese and Dreyfus are letting him be shackled, you know. That's a disgrace. And there's no excuse for that. There can only be one excuse for that, and is that the Americans own us. And the only reason the Americans own us is because of some crappy donations. I mean, why wouldn't you just stand up, let the Americans depose you, and be a hero? And be someone that you can always, whenever you walk down the street, people say, that is the first Prime Minister that stood up to the Americans, and people would clap you. Like, you know, as if a parliamentary office with a chair from Office Works and a broken strip light is really worth your self-respect. One day I hope Senator Wish Wilson is the Prime Minister, and one of his friends, I'll be his Minister for Defence or something. Maybe a Minister without portfolio. But I hope all of you can be remembered. Give yourselves a pat on the back, because I would be dead without you. My children would be orphans, and they would not be in a good place, I have to say. And your kindness and your support keeps me alive. And if I can stay alive, we can win this. And Julian Assange, and we can break AUKUS, and we will be so proud for as long as we live that we stood up. We were the 300, we were the people in Agincourt, and everyone else will want to be us. Thank you so much.
We've been listening to Dean Yates and David McBride at the rally in support of Julian Assange's release held on Saturday, March 18 in Melbourne.